Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
What's the worst thing someone said during a breakup? Story 1. We had been together for 4 years. Moved in together, shared a dog, even talked about kids. One night, I came home from work to find her packing. No warning, no argument, no cold distance leading up to it. Just boxes. When I asked what was going on, she said, without even looking at me, "You're a nice chapter, but I want a more exciting book." I froze. She went on, "You'd make a great husband, but for someone with fewer dreams than me." It wasn't just the words. It was how casually she said them, like she was commenting on the weather. She left with our dog. I later found out she had been talking to some guy from her writing workshop for months. Apparently, he lived in a van and had raw passion. 2 years later, she messaged me asking if I'd dog sit for a weekend. I didn't respond. Story 2. He broke up with me after we had just returned from a weekend trip to visit his family. I had spent hours with his nieces, helped his mom in the kitchen, smiled through his dad's political rants. When I asked why, he said, "You're the kind of woman I should end up with, but I want to try being with the kind I shouldn't before I settle." He even smiled like he was being honest and noble, as if I should be proud of being his plan B, his safety net after he explores. I left without a word, blocked his number, and mailed him back his hoodie, shredded into strips. Story 3. We were arguing. One of those slow burn arguments where the resentment just keeps boiling. I thought we were venting to fix things. But then she said, "I think I stayed because I liked feeling smarter than you." It hit like a truck. Not "we grew apart" or "I'm not happy." Just that. She always corrected my grammar. Always made me feel like my job in construction wasn't real ambition. I thought it was just her way. Turns out it was her pride. I didn't argue. I just said, "Then go find someone who makes you feel dumber." Last I heard, she was dating a failed novelist who lives with his mom. Story 4. He was my first everything. First kiss, first love, first heartbreak. When we broke up, I begged him to explain why. I wasn't ready. I thought we were still in the middle of our love story. He looked at me and said, "Because you love me more than I love you, and I like it that way." He added, "It makes me feel powerful." It shattered something in me. I couldn't eat for 3 days. I felt like I'd been walking blindfolded through a war zone. It took me years to realize that love shouldn't feel like losing. I'm engaged now. My fiance tells me he's lucky every single day, and that's all I ever wanted to hear. Story 5. We were high school sweethearts. Went through college together, struggled through job hunting, moved into our first crappy apartment together. I thought we were building a life. He got a job offer in another city. I was ready to move with him. He took me out to dinner and told me, "I need to be somewhere I can reinvent myself. And that means not bringing my past with me." I said, "I'm your past now?" He nodded. No tears, no regret. Just relief. He left the next morning. Took our favorite mug with him. 3 months later, I got a wedding invite from a mutual friend. He was already engaged to a girl from his new job. The worst part? On the RSVP card, he'd scribbled, "No hard feelings, right?" Story 6. We were sitting in his car outside my apartment. He'd asked to talk, which we all know is never good. "But I didn't expect that." He started calmly. "You didn't do anything wrong. But I've been thinking about who I want to be, and I don't think that guy is with you." I asked, "What does that even mean?" He took a breath and said, "It means I don't want to love someone who reminds me of who I used to be." It took me a full minute to realize he wasn't insulting me directly. He was insulting us. He made me feel like a souvenir of a version of him he wanted to erase. I said, "You mean someone who believed in you when no one else did?" He shrugged. "Yeah. That guy didn't have options. He drove away and never contacted me again." Years later, I saw him at a mutual friend's wedding. He tried to act like nothing happened. I excused myself to the bathroom and cried not because I missed him, but because I ever thought that was love. Story 7. I'll never forget what she said as she walked out the door, suitcase in hand. I'm sorry, but I want to feel alive again. And you feel like a Sunday morning that never ends. She meant it as a metaphor, I think, but it hit me like a punch to the chest. I loved our Sunday mornings. Coffee in bed, crossword puzzles, grocery lists. To her, it meant boredom. To me, it meant peace. We weren't fiery, no. But we were steady. Or so I thought. Turns out she had started seeing someone who rode motorcycles and taught salsa on weekends. She said, I need to be with someone who sweats. You don't even sweat. I could have gotten angry, begged her to stay, tried to change, but instead I said, then go dance yourself dizzy. She left. 2 years later, she messaged me. Your Sundays were the safest place I've ever known, but by then, someone else had already moved into my Sundays. Story 8. She ended things while I was washing dishes. No joke. I was up to my elbows in soap and suds when she said, I've been thinking about breaking up. I turned off the tap and said, okay. When? She replied, since Christmas. It was June. We'd spent 6 months traveling, taking photos, posting couple goals captions, and all the while she'd been halfway gone. Then she said, I stayed because I didn't want to ruin your birthday. My birthday was in March. She had held off for 3 more months after that. Not because she loved me, but because she didn't want to look like the bad guy. Then came the worst part. She said, you're kind of like a warm coat. You kept me safe through the winter, but I don't need you now. I laughed bitterly. Well, enjoy the weather, but it still rains in July. She moved in with a coworker 2 weeks later. I donated every photo of us to a thrift store, frame and all. Story 9. We were out celebrating our 3rd anniversary. Candlelit dinner, champagne, the works. I thought he was about to propose. He leaned in and said, I need to tell you something. I smiled. Then he said, I cheated. But only because I realized I don't want to die wondering. I dropped my fork. He kept talking like it was a TED talk. Monogamy is just not for me. You're amazing, but I've got one life. I need to try more flavors. I stared at the flickering candle and realized it wasn't romantic. It was just fire. He ended with, I hope one day you'll see this as brave. I excused myself, went to the bathroom, and paid the waiter on my way back. Left him there with the bill and the candle. Story 10. He cried while breaking up with me, which made it worse. I'm in love with someone else, he said. I asked who. He whispered, your sister. I don't remember standing or throwing the glass of water, but I remember the sound it made. He didn't flinch. She gets me in a way you don't, he said. She's spontaneous. You're structured. I was shaking. Then he added, I know it's wrong, but if I'm going to destroy one life, it might as well be the right one. That sentence broke something primal in me. My sister confessed 2 weeks later. She thought I suspected. I moved across the country. Haven't spoken to either of them since. And no, I don't miss them. I just miss who I was before that sentence turned me into someone else. Story 11. We were packing up her apartment because she had just gotten a job out of state. I took time off work to help her move, loaded her furniture, cleaned, even dealt with her awful landlord. The plan was for me to follow in a few weeks once I wrapped up things here. We were labeling boxes when she casually said, you don't need to come. I laughed. What? She looked at me, dead serious. I mean it. I need a fresh start. You don't fit there. I froze. All the lists, all the plans, just gone in one sentence. Then came the worst part. She said, you helped me grow, but now I've outgrown you. It wasn't anger I felt. It was erasure. Like I'd been a cocoon she couldn't wait to shed. I left mid-box. She texted me a photo of her new apartment a month later. No caption. I didn't reply. I just deleted every photo from that weekend and started over, for real this time, with someone who didn't see me as a stepping stone. Story 12. We had just lost our baby. It was early, but it still shattered me. I expected grief to either pull us closer or break us. It did both. 3 weeks later, we sat in silence at the kitchen table, staring at opposite walls. He finally said, I think we were only together because of the pregnancy. My chest cracked open. Then he added, I don't even think I loved you before. I just didn't know what else to do. I stared at the ring on my finger like it was a joke. He packed a bag that night. Didn't even say goodbye. People asked what happened. I said, we miscarried. And it was true. I lost 2 lives that month. Story 13. We were long distance, trying to make it work. She lived across the country for grad school. We had Zoom dates, surprise letters, playlists we sent each other. I really thought we were beating the odds. One night, I flew out to surprise her, showed up at her apartment with flowers and takeout from her favorite place. She opened the door and froze. Then she sighed. Not smiled, sighed. That's when I noticed the guy's shoes by the door. I asked, "Who is he?" She said, "Honestly, someone I can touch." I dropped the bag. She added, "I was going to tell you eventually, but I didn't know how to say it without you turning into a sad story." Too late, I walked away. She tried to call later that night. I didn't pick up. I left the flowers at her doorstep and took the takeout with me. I ate alone in a motel, watching the playlist we made autoplay to silence. Story 14. He dumped me in front of my parents. We were hosting dinner. I thought he was acting weird, but chalked it up to stress. Mid-meal, he put his fork down and said, "I can't do this anymore." My mom thought he meant the lasagna. Then he looked at me and said, "I've been seeing someone. I brought her here once when you were at work. She sat in that chair."
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5 quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
My dad gripped the table. My mom gasped. I didn't speak. I just stood up and left the room. He followed me to the kitchen and said, "I wanted them to hear it. I need everyone to stop thinking I'm the bad guy." "You did it," I thought. "You killed every illusion in one night." They helped me move out a week later. My mom still sets an extra plate at dinner just in case I come by. Story 15. We were on a hike, one of our favorite trails. Reached the summit, watched the sunrise. It felt like a scene from a movie. That's when he turned to me and said, "I think this is the happiest we'll ever be, and I don't want to keep chasing that." I blinked. "What do you mean?" He looked over the edge of the cliff and said, "This moment is perfect, but our relationship isn't." He went on about how he didn't want to wait until we started resenting each other. Then, "I want to remember us like this, not arguing over laundry or money." I was shaking, not just from the cold. He broke up with me on top of the world, then offered to hike back down together. For closure, I refused. I took another trail down, cried in the car for 2 hours, and never went back to that summit again. Story 16. We were supposed to be moving in together the next day. Lease signed. Truck rented. Everything boxed up. The night before, he asked if we could just talk. He didn't look nervous. He looked relieved. He said, "I've realized I'm not ready to live with someone I don't respect." I laughed, thinking it was a joke. He clarified, "You're too sensitive. Too emotional. I need someone who can handle life without falling apart every 5 minutes. He meant my anxiety, something I'd told him about in trust. He added, "I'm tired of playing therapist. I want a girlfriend, not a patient." I nodded, said nothing. He went to sleep like he hadn't just set my heart on fire. The next morning, I moved alone. New apartment, new plans. And I finally started therapy, with someone paid to listen, not pretend to love me. Story 17. I was admitted to the hospital after a minor accident. Nothing life-threatening, but scary enough that I reached for my phone to call him. He didn't answer. When he finally showed up 8 hours later, he brought flowers and a backpack. The backpack wasn't mine. "I packed some of your stuff," he said. Confused, I asked, "Why?" He replied, "Because I realized I'm not the guy who wants to spend weekends in hospitals." I thought he was kidding. I waited for a laugh. It never came. He stood at my bedside and said, "You're too fragile. and I don't want to be tied to someone who might always be breaking. He left the flowers. I watched them wilt over the next few days, and I didn't replace them. When I got home, I threw out everything that reminded me of him, even the good parts. Especially the good parts. Story 18. He proposed at my birthday dinner, in front of friends, family, candles, music. Then, 4 days later, I found the ring box in the trash. I confronted him, and he said, "I only proposed because your mom kept asking when I'd do it." He added, "It felt easier than saying I didn't want forever with you." The words didn't even register right away. My ears went hot. I asked, "So the entire dinner was fake?" He nodded. Everyone seemed so happy. I didn't want to ruin it. I returned the ring to his hand. Told him he could pawn it. My birthday is in December. That night, I made a resolution. Never again confuse performance for love. And never again let someone else narrate my happy ending. Story 19. We were mid-argument. Not even about anything serious. Dishes. Or errands, I can't even remember. But something in him snapped. He yelled, "God, you're so hard to love." Everything went silent. He didn't apologize. Just stared at me like he was the one who'd been wounded. That phrase clung to me like smoke. I couldn't shake it. I asked, "Do you mean that?" He said, "I mean, it's just always something with you." I walked into the bedroom, packed a bag, and left without slamming the door. I didn't want him to hear the sound of me breaking. Weeks later, he texted, "I didn't mean it like that," but I didn't reply. Because even if it wasn't what he meant, it was clearly what he felt. And that was enough. Story 20. We'd just bought a couch. A ridiculous, oversized, our future living room couch. Delivery was scheduled for Monday. On Sunday, he broke up with me over coffee. His exact words, "I can't imagine sitting on that couch with you for the next 40 years. It was so specific, it felt like a punchline. I asked, "Why did we buy it then?" He shrugged. "I thought I'd learn to want that life. But I didn't. It wasn't just about the couch. It was the life we were building. The slow, domestic, shared morning kind of love. He didn't want it. He wanted chaos, newness, edges I didn't have. The couch arrived anyway. I signed for it. Then I sold it the next week. I now have a beanbag and a cat. And strangely, it suits me better. Story 21. We had been dating for almost 3 years. Through college stress, job hunts, family losses, he was my constant. Then one day, he took me to the lake where we first kissed. I thought it was going to be a proposal. He handed me a folded letter. I wrote down everything I've been too scared to say out loud. The first line read, "I love you, but I don't like you anymore." The rest? A list, literally. "You've gained weight. You're not as funny as you used to be. I feel like I have to take care of your feelings constantly. Sometimes I wish you'd just shut up. Worry you shan't. You peaked at 23. It wasn't a breakup letter. It was a eulogy. When I looked up, he was crying. I didn't know how else to do it. I dropped the letter into the lake and said, "You just did." Story 22. We were at IKEA, mid-aisle, surrounded by lamps and people arguing over throw pillows. He picked up a mirror, looked into it, then turned to me and said, "Do you ever wonder if we're just together because it's convenient?" I thought he was joking. I said, "No, why?" He replied, "Because I don't feel anything anymore." Right there, next to a screaming toddler and a display of fake ferns. He said, "I've been pretending to be excited about a life I don't want." I asked, "So this is it?" He nodded. "Yeah. I think we should break up after we get meatballs, though. I'm starving." He actually went through with ordering lunch. I left him at the checkout line. Later, he texted, "Sorry if the timing was bad." As if there's a good time to emotionally evict someone in aisle 14. Story 23. She waited until we were on vacation. A trip I planned, paid for, and had been dreaming about for months. We were hiking a quiet trail when she suddenly stopped and said, "Can I tell you something without you making it weird?" I laughed and said, "Sure." She took a breath and said, "I think I've been in love with my best friend for a while." I stared at her like she'd spoken a different language. She added, "I didn't mean to fall for her, but I feel more myself with her than I do with you." I asked, "Then why the hell are you here with me?" She said, "Because you booked non-refundable tickets." That line snapped something in me. We finished the trip because we had no choice. But I don't remember the waterfalls, the food, the beaches. I just remember thinking, how long has she been smiling in my face while dreaming of someone else? Story 24. We met in a book club. Fell in love over paperbacks and espresso. She was quiet but intense, like the main character in a novel who says little but sees everything. One night, during an argument about the future, marriage, kids, timelines, she calmly closed her book and said, "You feel like a comfort read. I want to chase something more. Literary. I didn't understand." She explained, "You're a paperback. I want a hardback. Glossy, rare, maybe even difficult to understand." I said, "So, I'm too easy to love?" She smiled. "Exactly." That was the last time I saw her. Months later, she published an essay online titled, "Why I Left My Safe Person." I was the safe person. I stopped reading fiction after that, at least for a while. Story 25. We were high school sweethearts who somehow made it into our late 20s together. Everyone thought we were perfect. Then came the night of our engagement party. We were cleaning up empty wine glasses when he blurted out, "I think I proposed because I couldn't think of a better reason not to." I stared at him. He added, "I love you, but I don't want you. Not like that." I whispered, "Then why would you go through with all this?" He said, "Because saying yes is easier than explaining no." I returned the ring the next morning. The hardest part wasn't losing him. It was having to tell my grandma that the wedding was off and hearing her say, "At least you found out before the dress was tailored." Story 26. He waited until we were in line for a wedding photo booth. We had just smiled through three couple poses. Right as we stepped aside for the next group, he leaned in and whispered, "I think this is the last event we'll attend together." I froze, still holding the fake mustache prop. He said, "Tonight made me realize I can't picture us getting married without thinking about escaping halfway through." It wasn't even angry. It was soft. "Final," I asked, "so you're breaking up with me at someone else's wedding?" He nodded. It just felt appropriate. I spent the rest of the night in the bathroom, sitting on the edge of a bathtub, wondering how I'd be remembered, the girl he'd dumped near the dance floor, still wearing a tiara from the photo booth. Every wedding since, I've checked for exits before I check for the bar. Story 27. I once dated a guy who was obsessed with optimization. Timers for workouts, spreadsheets for groceries, even graphs to measure date quality. It was annoying, but I chalked it up to his quirky charm, until he sat me down with a literal presentation. Slide 1. Why this isn't working. Slide 2. Projected emotional ROI, negative. I laughed. Thought it was a joke. He clicked to slide 3. "I've been seeing someone more efficient with my time." I stared at him in disbelief. He said, "I need someone who matches my systems. You live too much in the moment. It's not scalable." He dumped me with a business metaphor. Later, I found out he had set up calendar reminders for when to say, "I love you," based on milestones. I never cried harder. Not because I lost him, but because I'd mistaken algorithms for affection. Story 28. We were in bed. I had just told him I loved him for the first time. There was silence. Then he sighed and said, "I don't think I've ever actually loved anyone. I just like being loved." I laughed nervously. "What?" He rolled over and repeated it, slower this time. "I don't think I'm capable of love. I just like the benefits." I lay there stunned, still feeling the words I had just given him like they were warm in the air. He added, "You're sweet. You'd make someone very happy someday. But not me. I'm just not built for it." I cried quietly so he wouldn't hear. By morning, I was gone. He texted once. "No hard feelings?" I never answered. Some feelings should hurt. That's what proves they were real. Story 29. We were at his sister's baby shower. Pink balloons, cupcakes, the works. He pulled me aside and said, "Seeing all this, it made me realize I don't want this life with you." I blinked. "What life?" He said, "Any life. I don't want a future with you. Not marriage. Not kids. Not matching towels." The cupcakes were shaped like baby rattles. He added, "You're more of a temporary person. Fun for a while, but not permanent." I stood there, surrounded by diaper cakes and cooing relatives, wondering how I could feel so invisible while being looked at. His mom asked why I was crying during the gift opening. I said the bows were just really beautiful. I left before the game started. I heard he's dating a girl who sells monogram nursery decor on Etsy. Maybe I was too temporary for him. But I know now, I want someone who chooses me for forever, not just because it's not raining. Story 30. He broke up with me while helping me move into my new apartment. We were unpacking plates. He held up one, then said, "I don't think I should be here." I asked if he meant helping. "No," he said. "Here. In your life." I thought he was stressed. I offered to stop, sit down, talk. He looked around at the boxes and said, "This is your new chapter, and I don't want to be a side character anymore." That one hurt. He kissed my forehead like a brother and walked out. Didn't take anything. Just left. Later that night, I found a sticky note in one of the kitchen drawers. It said, "I'm proud of you. I'm just not meant for your ending." I taped it to the inside of my closet. Not because I missed him, but because I wanted to remember how quietly someone can disappear, even while holding something fragile. Story 31. He told me he didn't want to break up. He wanted to restructure. I asked him what that even meant. He pulled out a notebook, literally, a bullet journal titled Q3 Relationship Audit. He'd made categories: emotional labor, intimacy, goal alignment, sex drive, life vision. Each had a 5-star rating system. I had mostly 3s and 4s, except for excitement, where I got a 1. I stared at the page while he explained that I was highly dependable but emotionally predictable. He said, "It's like going to a restaurant and always ordering the same sandwich. It's good, but eventually you wonder what else is on the menu." Then he smiled, like this was an enlightening compliment. I stood up and said, "Well, if I'm a sandwich, I hope you choke on your next bite." He looked shocked. "This is why your conflict resolution score was a 2. I left. Weeks later, he emailed me a survey link with the subject line, "Final feedback." I didn't open it. I just flagged it as spam. Story 32. My father had just died. I was numb, grieving, disconnected from the world. He'd flown out to be with me, and I thought, this man is a keeper. The night after the funeral, I broke down in our hotel room. I cried so hard I couldn't breathe. He rubbed my back for maybe 2 minutes, then stood up and said, "I know this is hard, but I didn't sign up to be your grief sponge." I stopped crying. He continued, "I miss the girl who smiled all the time. Not this vacuum of sadness." My father wasn't even cold in the ground. He went home the next morning citing emotional suffocation. Later, he posted on Instagram, "Sometimes letting go is an act of love." No, it wasn't. It was an act of cowardice dressed in hashtags. Story 33. We were saving for a house. Every penny. Cutting corners. Meal prepping. Splitting bills to the cent. He said he was fully in. One night I came home early and found him on the couch. Not with someone else, but with a real estate agent. On Zoom. They were finalizing paperwork on a condo. His condo. I stood there in silence until the call ended. He said, "I didn't tell you because I knew you'd make it emotional." I asked, "Are we breaking up or do you just want to live apart?" He shrugged. "I think I want a future. I just don't want to build it with you anymore." Like I was a contractor who didn't meet the deadline. He had already signed the deal, used our shared savings, said I could keep the coffee maker as a parting gift. I poured the rest of that coffee on his suitcase. Fair trade. Story 34. We were stuck in traffic on the way to my brother's engagement party when he said, "You know, I don't think I ever really loved you. I think I just admired you." I asked, "Why would you say that now?" He looked out the window and said, "Because I don't want to fake it in front of your family again. I'm tired." I laughed. Not because it was funny, but because it was the kind of cruel honesty that sounds rehearsed. He added, "You're impressive. You make me want to be better. But I don't want to have to be better all the time. I want to just exist." I said, "You want someone you can be lazy with?" He nodded. "Exactly." We turned the car around. I called my brother and told him I wasn't feeling well. He dropped me off at my place, then drove away like nothing had happened. That night, I wrote a letter to myself. It started with, "You are not someone people admire. You're someone they choose." And the next person I dated chose me daily. Story 35. He told me at the airport, right after we picked up our bags from a week in Paris, his dream trip. I had surprised him with it for his birthday. As we waited for the Uber, he looked at me and said, "Don't be mad, but I think we should stop seeing each other." I blinked. "We just flew 10 hours together." He replied, "Yeah. And that flight made me realize I can't picture sitting next to you for the rest of my life." The flight made him realize that. He added, "We had fun, but this felt like a last chapter, not a beginning." I asked, "Then why didn't you tell me before I paid for everything?" He shrugged. "I didn't want to ruin the trip." I said, "No, you just wanted a goodbye vacation." He called me dramatic. I canceled the Uber, got my own, and blocked him before he even loaded his suitcase. Later, I refunded one of his unused return souvenirs with a message to the seller. Don't need it. The trip ended earlier than planned. Story 36. She dumped me right after I got my dream job. I was still in the suit, still holding the offer letter. We had just toasted champagne. I thought we were celebrating together. She smiled, kissed my cheek, and said, "I'm happy for you, but I don't want to follow you into your future." I didn't get it. She clarified, "The man you're about to become, he won't need me anymore. I liked you before you won." It was the strangest heartbreak I've ever experienced. Being abandoned not because I failed, but because I succeeded. She added, you'll find someone who fits that new life. And I'll find someone who doesn't make me feel like a placeholder. She left the flute of champagne half full and walked out. I stood there in a suit that suddenly didn't feel mine. That night, I reread the job offer 6 times, trying to convince myself it still mattered. Story 37. He ended things in the middle of our couple's counseling session. We'd been going for months, trying to repair what felt like fixable cracks. The therapist asked him, what are you afraid will happen if you stay? He looked at me, then said, I'm afraid I'll look back in 10 years and realize I gave my best years to a woman who didn't challenge me enough. I was too stunned to speak. The therapist waited. So did I. Then he continued, you're warm. You're steady, but I need chaos. I want fire, I whispered. Then why did you beg me to marry you? He looked ashamed. Because I thought you'd change. That was the final session. I got in the car and cried for 20 minutes in the parking lot while he drove off like he'd just clocked out of a job. Story 38. We were supposed to go ring shopping that weekend. Instead, he called a relationship timeout. Said he needed space to evaluate. 3 days later, I ran into him at the farmer's market with another woman, holding hands. He looked me dead in the eyes and said, I didn't cheat. I just started the next thing early. I laughed. You couldn't wait until after the timeout? He shrugged. There's no point finishing a book when you already know how it ends. That woman? She looked like me. Same haircut. Same jacket. But younger. I said, you don't want something new. You want a reboot with fewer complications. He didn't even argue. I left my tote bag full of vegetables on the sidewalk and walked away. I don't go to that market anymore. I buy frozen now. It's safer. Story 39. He broke up with me on his birthday. After unwrapping gifts I'd spent weeks planning. After I baked his grandmother's recipe from scratch. He said, this all made me realize how much effort you put in. And how little I care. He wasn't angry. He wasn't cruel. He was tired. Like he'd been holding in the truth for months. He added, you exhaust me. Your love feels like homework. That line hit harder than yelling ever could. He said I deserved someone who'd match my energy, then proceeded to finish his cake. I watched him eat it. Then I left him sitting there with the leftover slices and a birthday card I wished I could rip back from his hands. Story 40. She called me while I was out grocery shopping. Said, I've been thinking, I want to break up. I stopped in the middle of the cereal aisle, gripping a box of Frosted Flakes. I asked, right now? She said, I didn't want to wait. I didn't want to lie through dinner again. Then came the sentence I'll never forget. I want to be missed again, and you're too available to miss. I laughed out of disbelief. So I'm losing you because I show up too much? She replied, exactly. I left the cart in the aisle and walked out of the store. On the drive home, I realized I had given her loyalty she confused for boredom. Some people crave hunger more than they appreciate being full. Story 41. We were moving across the country for his new job. I gave up mine, said goodbye to my family, and helped pack up our entire apartment. Halfway through the drive somewhere in Kansas, he pulled over at a rest stop and said, I don't think you should keep going with me. I blinked. What? He said, I've been thinking. This fresh start shouldn't have baggage attached. I realized then I was the baggage. I asked, why wait until now? He shrugged. I didn't want to fight while we were still in our old place. So instead, he dumped me between a vending machine and a row of porta potties. He offered to call me an Uber. We were 9 hours from the nearest airport. I called my sister. She drove 12. He texted me weeks later saying, I hope the trip home gave you clarity. It did. It made me realize that someone who needs to leave the state to leave you was never staying anyway. Story 42. She told me she had a surprise planned. Told me to meet her at the aquarium, our first date spot. I thought she was going to propose. She had always said she would. When the time felt right, I got there. She was already waiting. No ring, no smile, just a folder. Inside, printed screenshots of my texts with her best friend. I froze. She said, I don't want to hear your explanation. I just want you to remember this place as the last time you ever got to surprise me. She walked out, heels echoing across the blue-lit hallway. I followed her outside. She stopped me and said, I hope she was worth every lie. Because she'll never trust you either. She was right. The best friend blocked me 2 weeks later. Turns out, I was nothing but a temporary thrill to both of them. And now when I see jellyfish, I don't think graceful. I think sting. Story 43. He waited until I introduced him to my parents. They'd flown in, cooked a full dinner, even dusted off the wedding china, just in case. After dessert, we walked outside. He looked at the sky and said, you're everything I was told I should want. I smiled, unsure what he meant. Then he added, "But I think I need someone messier. Someone who challenges me more. You're too composed." I stood on the porch, stunned. He said, "You're the end goal, but I'm not done being lost yet." And just like that, he was gone. My dad came outside 20 minutes later, saw me still standing there. Didn't ask. Just hugged me. The next morning, he helped me cook pancakes and said, "Some men go looking for storms. You just keep being the harbor." Story 44. I had planned a scavenger hunt. Clues hidden in our apartment, leading him to small gifts, love notes, little inside jokes. The final clue led to the park bench where we first kissed. I waited there, holding the last note, "Let's build forever." He arrived, sat down, and handed me a plain white envelope. Inside, a breakup letter. Handwritten. 8 pages. He said, "I didn't want to ruin the scavenger hunt. You worked hard." I read all 8 pages while he sat there in silence. At the end, I looked up and asked, "Why not just tell me?" He replied, "Because I didn't want to see you crumble. I thought doing it here might make it poetic." Poetic. I walked home alone. Took down every clue. Left the gifts outside his door. Weeks later, I burned the final note. Turns out, not every story needs an ending. Some just need an escape route. Story 45. We were sharing a bath. Candles. Music. Lavender salts. It was supposed to be romantic. She leaned her head on my shoulder and whispered, "I wish I could love you harder than I do." My heart stopped. She continued, "You're so easy to be with. Too easy. I never have to try." I asked, "Isn't that a good thing?" She paused. "It should be. But I feel bored. Like I'm already retired from trying." She got out of the tub. Dried off. Said she'd sleep on the couch. In the morning, she was gone. No note. No call. Just a half-used candle and a tub full of cold water. I sat in it until the tips of my fingers wrinkled. Not from romance, but from realizing someone could lose interest in love simply because it didn't scream loud enough. Story 46. He didn't say it during a fight, or a sit-down, or even with a warning. He said it in passing. I was brushing my teeth and he was scrolling through his phone in bed. Without looking up, he said, "Sometimes I wonder what it would have been like if I'd said yes to Melissa instead of you." The toothpaste foamed in my mouth. I spit it out and asked, "What?" He glanced up like he'd commented on the weather. "I mean, don't you ever wonder if you made the wrong choice?" I didn't answer. I packed a bag that night. The next morning, he said, "It was just a thought. Everyone has them. Not everyone looks at the person who loves them and calls them a mistake with a yawn. And I wasn't about to be haunted by a ghost named Melissa every time we argued." Story 47. She told me she wanted to go on a solo trip to reconnect with herself. I encouraged it. Bought her a journal. Helped her pack. 10 days later, I picked her up from the airport. She was distant. Quiet. At home, I asked what was wrong. She handed me a postcard from Paris. I said, "You weren't in Paris." She replied, "Yes, I was. Just not alone." Turns out she flew out with her ex. She said it was unplanned and complicated. And then, "I think I needed to see if he still made me feel something." I asked, "And did he?" She said, "He did, but not in the right way. You feel more like home. But sometimes I want to feel like a storm." I left, because I wasn't about to be someone's roof in their rain. Story 48. We were supposed to meet his parents. First time. Big moment. He was nervous. I reassured him. "We've got this." Halfway through the drive, he pulled over and said, "I can't take you." I laughed. Thought it was a joke. He looked dead serious. I told them I was dating someone else. I froze. "What?" He continued. "They expect to meet Zoe. She's a girl from work." I never corrected them. I stared at him, sick. "Why would you do that?" He said, "Because they wouldn't understand you. You're too progressive." Too intense. I got out of the car on the side of the road and walked to a gas station. He texted me later. "I'm sorry. You're too much for small rooms." He was right. But I found someone who builds cathedrals out of my fire. Story 49. We were planning a Halloween party. I was carving pumpkins in the kitchen when he came in, holding a bowl of candy. He said, "Can I be honest?" "Sure. I hate everything about this life we've built." I blinked, thinking he meant the party. He went on. "I hate coming home to routine. I hate how happy you are with small things. I feel like I'm drowning in domestic bliss, and I never even wanted to swim." I put the knife down. He said, "You make me feel like a background actor in your sitcom, and I don't want to be laugh track happy." He left that night. The guests still came. I carved a second pumpkin and named it Closure. It didn't smile, but it stayed. Story 50. I proposed to her. Candlelit rooftop. Her favorite band playing softly in the background. She stared at the ring for a long time and said, I want to say yes so you don't feel rejected. I asked, but do you want to? She paused. I want the idea of you, not the actual you. That sentence carved me open. She added, you're the version of stability I imagined I'd grow into. But I'm not there yet. I'm still reckless. I still want to ruin things. I put the ring away. She said, maybe in another life? I said, maybe in this one, but with someone else. She cried. So did I. Then we went downstairs and pretended nothing had happened, because sometimes the worst breakups are the ones no one sees. Story 51. We had a ritual. Every Sunday morning, we'd go to the bakery down the street. She'd get a chocolate croissant. I'd get the spinach feta thing she hated. On our 87th Sunday, yes, I counted, she bit into her pastry, looked at me, and said, you know, I think I confuse comfort with connection. I blinked. What? She sipped her coffee and said, you're comforting. You're the bakery. You're the soft morning. But I want a nightclub. I want chaos. I laughed, thinking she was joking. She wasn't. I think I stayed so long because I liked who I was with you, but I don't like who you are. That one line felt like getting hit by a truck while crossing the street barefoot. I didn't cry. I just picked up the last bite of spinach pastry, chewed it slowly, and said, then go find your chaos. But don't come back here when it burns you down. Story 52. He had been distant for weeks. I assumed it was stress. He finally said, let's talk. So I took the day off work and made his favorite dinner. He sat across from me, poked at the food, and said, I've realized I love you in the same way I love nostalgia. I asked, what does that even mean? He said, you feel like high school, like mixtapes and movie nights. But I've outgrown that part of me. Then he added, I want someone who makes me feel like the future, not the past. It wasn't mean. It wasn't cruel. It was clinical. He didn't yell. He didn't cry. He just got up, kissed my forehead, and left. I sat at the table for an hour, staring at a dinner made for two. Then I threw it all out, because I didn't want leftovers of a life he'd already outgrown. Story 53. We were celebrating my promotion. A rooftop bar, string lights, the whole Pinterest-worthy vibe. She leaned over her glass of wine and said, you always win, and I'm tired of losing next to you. I froze. She added, every success you have makes me feel smaller. I thought I'd grow beside you, but I feel like your shadow. I said, this isn't a competition. She laughed. That's easy to say when you're always ahead. I asked if she wanted to talk, to fix it, to figure out how to support both of us. She shook her head. I need to be someone's sun, not their satellite. She kissed me on the cheek and left. That night, I stared at the city skyline and thought, love doesn't always end because something's broken. Sometimes, it ends because someone's keeping score. Story 54. He broke up with me while I was in labor. Let me say that again. In labor. Contractions, IV drip, oxygen mask, the whole thing. He leaned in close and said, I don't think I'm ready to be a dad or a partner. I thought I'd feel different by now. I couldn't even respond. I was trying to breathe. He added, I'll still help. Financially, but emotionally, I think I'm already empty. He left before the baby was born. Didn't even sign the birth certificate. Later, when I was home alone with a newborn on my chest, he sent me a text. I'm sorry. I just wasn't built for this. I never replied. My daughter is now two. She has my eyes. And none of his gravity. Story 55. We were in line for a haunted house. October. Cold air. Kids in costumes. It should have been fun. He turned to me and said, you know what's scarier than ghosts? I smiled. Commitment? He didn't laugh. He said, no, settling. And I think that's what I'm doing with you. The words cut so sharp I didn't even feel them at first. He added, you're good. Too good. And that terrifies me. Because if I stay, I'll ruin you. Then, as we inched closer to the entrance, he whispered, I'd rather hurt you now than rot you slowly. He handed me his ticket and walked away. I went in alone. The actors screamed. The floor creaked. A fake corpse fell from the ceiling. But nothing inside that haunted house was scarier than someone deciding you're too pure to love and leaving you anyway. Story 56. She ended it while we were getting matching tattoos. Yes, matching tattoos. We were in the parlor side by side. Her idea, a simple pair of constellations, hers on the wrist, mine on the forearm. The artist had just started inking when she turned to me and said, This is probably a bad time, but I need to be honest. I looked over, half numbed by the buzzing. She said, I think I want to be alone for a while. Like, existentially alone. I asked, now? She nodded. It felt wrong to lie while marking something permanent. I stared at the outline being drawn into my skin, knowing I couldn't stop it now. She got hers finished, smiled sadly, tipped the artist, and left. I sat there bleeding. The irony? The constellation was called Lyra, named after a woman who was torn apart by love. Felt about right. Story 57. He broke up with me during a fire drill. We worked in the same building, different departments. The alarm rang. We filed out like always. As we stood on the curb waiting for the all clear, he turned to me and said, I've been thinking. You're more habit than happiness. I laughed nervously. Are you serious? He nodded. I think we stayed together because neither of us wanted to deal with the logistics of ending it. People around us were talking, checking phones, sipping coffee. I was trying not to scream. He added, you don't feel like fire anymore. Just smoke. The alarm eventually stopped. Everyone went inside. Except me. I stood there until the street was empty, then walked 3 blocks to nowhere. No one ever tells you how quiet heartbreak sounds when you're surrounded by noise. Story 58. She broke up with me after my graduation speech. I was the valedictorian. She helped me write the speech. Practiced with me. Sat in the front row. After the ceremony, I ran down, beaming, ready to celebrate. She pulled me aside and said, today was the perfect goodbye. I asked, what do you mean? She said, you're going to become someone I can't follow. I can already feel it. I shook my head. We're building a life together. She looked at me like she pitied me. You're building. I'm standing still. She hugged me tightly, too tightly, and whispered, I wanted to end on a high note. Let this be the peak. And then she walked away, leaving me holding my diploma and a box of confetti cupcakes she'd baked the night before. I didn't eat them. I couldn't taste anything for weeks. Story 59. He left a voice memo. Not a call. Not a text. Not even a video. Just a 27-second voice recording. I was folding laundry when it came through. I hit play. Hey. So, I've been doing a lot of thinking. And I don't think I can do this anymore. It's nothing you did. You're amazing. I'm just not happy. And I don't want to drag this out. Sorry. That was it. No name. No goodbye. Just sorry. I listened to it 6 times. Each time, I tried to hear a crack in his voice. Something to tell me it hurt him too. But he sounded like...
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
He was reading a grocery list. I texted back, was I a task to complete? He never answered. To this day, I hate the sound of voice memos. Even when they come from people I love. Story 60. We were at a funeral. Not someone close, a mutual friend's uncle. Still, somber. Quiet. During the eulogy, he leaned toward me and whispered, I don't think I'd want you speaking at my funeral. I turned, stunned. He whispered again, you make everything about you. Even this. I was speechless. Afterward, I pulled him aside. What the hell was that? He shrugged. It made me realize I don't trust you to represent me. Even in death. I asked if this was about something deeper. He said, I think I'm already mourning us. Might as well bury it properly. I left before the reception. and I never looked back. Because if someone tells you who they are at a funeral, believe them. Story 61. We were driving home from a concert. I thought it had been a perfect night. She rested her head on the window and said, "Can I ask you something without you getting hurt?" I braced. She continued, "Do you think some people are meant to be stepping stones? Like transitional chapters?" I said nothing. Then she looked at me and added, "Because I think you're mine." The GPS kept talking, telling us to turn right in 500 feet. I just kept driving straight. She said she didn't mean it cruelly, that I'd helped her grow. I said, "So what am I? Your spiritual internship?" She laughed, and that hurt most. I dropped her off without saying goodbye. Later, she texted, "Thank you for helping me become someone better." I didn't reply, because stepping stones don't talk back. They just stay quiet while people walk over them. Story 62. He said it in a library. Ironic, really. He knew I loved the quiet. We were browsing shelves, hunting for something new to read, when he turned to me holding a hardcover and said, "This one sounds interesting. It's about a woman who leaves her safe life for something risky." I smiled. "Sounds intense." He didn't smile back. Then he said, "I think I'm the woman." I froze. "What?" He lowered the book. "You're my safe life. And I think I'm about to leave it." I stood there in the aisle between fiction and memoir, unsure where I belonged. He placed the book on a shelf, not even in the right section. Then he walked out. I stayed. Checked out nothing. Just stood there for a long time, suddenly afraid of silence for the first time in years. Story 63. She ended things right after I shaved my head. It wasn't impulsive. I'd been battling alopecia for months. I cried while doing it. She sat beside me, held the clippers, said she was proud. The next morning, she said she didn't feel attracted to me anymore. "I feel guilty, but you don't look like the person I fell in love with." I was stunned. She continued, "I supported you emotionally, but physically, I can't fake desire. It wasn't just cruel. It was surgical." I asked, "So I lose hair and love in the same weekend?" She didn't answer. She left my apartment with her toothbrush and a towel. The clippers were still on the counter. I looked in the mirror and realized I looked exactly like someone who had just been stripped clean. But underneath it all, I was still standing. Story 64. We were hiking. Nothing intense, just a forest loop we'd done a dozen times before. We were halfway through when he said, "I've been thinking a lot about bears." I laughed. "What?" He said, "They hibernate. Disappear for whole seasons. Wake up leaner. Alone." I didn't get it. Then he said, "I want to hibernate from us. I want to go quiet and see who I am without this." I stopped walking. "Are you breaking up with me in a metaphor?" He nodded. "It feels gentler this way." I said, "It's not." We finished the loop in silence. The leaves crunched underfoot. The trees didn't care. He disappeared into winter. I didn't wait for spring. Story 65. He dumped me after winning an award. Not because he was overwhelmed, but because the spotlight showed him something. He stood backstage, trophy in hand, and said, "When they clapped for me, I realized I didn't think of you." I blinked. "What does that mean?" He said, "I expected to feel gratitude, and all I felt was alone. But it felt good. It felt right." I told him he was just caught in the high. He said, "No, I think I've been sober with you." And I finally tasted something different. The applause still echoed from the hall. I walked away before the encore. He texted a week later, "I hope you find someone who claps for you louder than I ever did." I already had. Me.